Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Trick or treat.
Here's John Williams.
Hi, it's John. An amazing thing was said yesterday during our conversation about the lengths we go to during Halloween. Hokey smokes.
Lord have mercy.
Did you hear that conversation? I said, what are you doing? What are you seeing? What are you spending out there? Because, wow, it's getting out of hand. I'll play back part of that conversation at 1:35. Listen then. Also, speaking of things that are alarming, also in the 1:35 to 2 o'clock segment, Kevin Matheny will join us. He's an environmental writer for the Detroit Free Press. You may have seen his piece in the USA Today, today. And in it, he wrote about the depth of the Great Lakes, that is, how much higher the water level is. Think about this. If the water is, say, 6 inches higher than the 100-year average, that may not sound like a lot, but if the water is 6 inches higher, sometimes the run of a beach goes very long and very gradual, point being that that water will come way in before it's 6 inches higher on the ground. I think you know what I mean. And anybody who's been around the Great Lakes, around, say, Lake Michigan this summer, has noticed how much higher the water is. I was shocked to hear how much higher the water level is on Lake Michigan than the 100-year average. Really, 100 years running, what's the average? How much higher is it in Chicago, say? Once again, hokey smokes. We'll talk about that at 1:35, what's happening and, you know, what we should all do about that. Very interesting stuff. Hey, speaking of haircuts, this is a story from the Washington Times. You know, every now and then I like to say, if you don't already, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper. I'm not exactly sure this is what I had in mind. But here it is in the Washington Times. Exclusive self-declared socialist AOC splurges on high-dollar hairdo. This is not a conversation about AOC, the liberal congresswoman who's been a flashpoint this year at all. I don't follow her. I don't know much about her. I know some people are very transfixed by her, but this is just about haircuts. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has allowed life in Washington to go to her head, literally, says the Washington Times. The self-declared socialist, who regularly rails against the rich and complains about the cost of living inside the Beltway, spent nearly $300 on her hairdo at a pricey salon she frequents in downtown Washington, the Washington Times has learned. I love that last part. That's investigative journalism. The Washington Times has learned. The New York Democrat ventured into the Last Tango Salon. Props to them for fun salon name, Last Tango Salon, T-A-N-G-L-E, on the 19th Street Northwest Salon last month. She shelled out $80 for the haircut and $180 for lowlights, according to sources familiar with the salon.
Yeah, that sounds like just about every other decent salon.
The article goes on to say a 20% tip would have added $52 for those of you that aren't good in math.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what y'all tip. Are y'all tipping about 20%?
Yep, you should.
Are you kidding me?
Especially if you really like your person.
Wow. If I really like my person, I think I'll give them $180 for lowlights and $80 for a haircut. 20% on top of that? I don't think the boys are doing this.
No, which is, again, another thing that us ladies have to deal with. But at the same time, we don't have to. I mean, for a lot of years when I wasn't making money, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I was making money, but not enough. I didn't touch my hair at all, but there is, you know, a difference in terms of presentation.
Men get their hair cut more often, too, though. That offsets it
yes.
a little bit.
But do you think this is also true? A woman getting her hair, particularly if it's colored, will spend 3 hours in the chair. You build up a relationship with that person over a while. My point being mm-hmm. that when you get up, you feel, I don't know, more obligated or closer to them. It's more likely you'll tip somebody 20% that you've been in the chair for 3 hours than a guy that's in and out in 30 minutes.
I've been with a person I see since high school as well. She gave me her old snowboard. She has she's done so many things to use me as like a model for like eyebrow stuff or certain extensions. So there are benefits to keeping a relationship like that.
Lauren, let me just tell you, your eyebrows are always on fleek.
You can thank Patty for that. Thank you.
A 20% tip, it says here, would have added $52 to the bill. Says the Washington Times, her stylist did not respond to a request for comment about the tip. Once again, investigative journalism at its finest. A staff member at the Last Tangle Salon talked about the lawmaker as if she were a TV superstar, saying, quote, AOC was extremely nice and even took several selfies with patrons. She could have saved, according to the article, roughly $100 for the same hairstyle at the government-subsidized Capitol Hill barbershop. The lawmaker could have saved money on the same services by visiting highly reviewed salons in her own district in the Bronx. Her high-dollar hairdo stands in stark contrast to that of former Attorney General Jeff Sessions, a former senator from Alabama who is a regular customer at the Senate Hair Care Services.
So wait, this conservative paper is arguing instead that she should have had the government pay to cut her hair?
I don't know if the government would pay for
that.
Yeah,
no, you just said this subsidized congressional barbershop.
Lawmakers could save money on the same services by visiting the highly reviewed salons in her district. Her high-dollar hairdo stands in stark contrast to... I'm looking for government-subsidized before... Okay, here it is. She could save roughly $100 for the same hairstyle at the government-subsidized... at the government-subsidized Capitol Hill barbershop. Attorney General Jeff Sessions goes there. The senator from Alabama who... And again, this isn't about Jeff Sessions in any way. I don't care how you feel about him, but comparing his hairdo, which is a little more like Elmer Fudd's, than her hairdo, which is probably a little more complicated than Jeff Sessions. I don't know, it's a fair comparison.
Not at all.
It's in the basement of the Russell Senate office building and the Government Senate Hair Care Services Barbershop, subsidized. That's right, so we would be paying for it. You can get a cheaper cut just to have Jess. And when I think about whose hair do I want to... whose hair do I want to champion someday? I think Jeff Sessions. At that place, open to members of Congress and the public, a men's haircut runs for $20, though men's haircuts there are cheaper than women's haircuts. How is that? Why do women pay more for blouses than shirts? It's a white shirt with buttons. Why does a woman's dry cleaning for essentially the same amount of real estate, frankly, women's clothes are smaller than men's. Why do women pay more for dry cleaning than men?
And yet get paid less than men. How funny is that?
It's not funny.
Boom.
Ella, if you're listening to the show today, how are you? Okay, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, it says here in the article, makes $174,000 a year. She has plenty of company in the hair club for extravagant politicians. I guess this is my question for you, 312-981-7200. How extravagant does this sound, and what's it like out there? Ladies, what are you paying for a cut and color? And the 2016 Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton splurged $600 on a hairdo during the campaign. It prompted Vanity Fair then to ask in a headline, is $600 too much for a haircut? Former Senator John Edwards famously paid $500 to a hairstylist. President Bill Clinton had a $200 haircut at the Los Angeles International Airport on the runway. $200 sounds like a lot, but I would say that would be the high end of what I can imagine for a man. If you're a guy and you're paying $500 for a haircut, you're probably getting more than a haircut. But for the ladies, is $300 off the chain? I don't know. And I asked my wife, I said, so is this like in the ballpark of reasonable, or does that sound really high? And she said, you know, if you add the tip, it's not in that. That is not unheard of in the Chicago area. And I'm thinking, if you're getting, say, a $250 thing, 20% is a $50 tip. $50. That just strikes me as a lot. Guys, I don't think we're tipping $50. I think we're getting $50 haircuts. I believe Bertha on Ohio Street, downtown Chicago. That's where I go. She used to be in the Tribune Tower until we all got run out of there. Now she's on Ohio Street, and Bertha is, it's amazing. I think she's $30 for a mint. Can you imagine that, Lapka? $30 to get your hair cut?
That would be lovely.
And then if I go 20%, I'm out $6 more. No $50 tip for me.
I do think the cut is the most ridiculous part. I get the coloring because, you know, you have to pay for all the chemicals and the lotions and then the extra conditioning or whatever needs to be done for that process.
Really?
But even if I'm a woman, if I'm getting a quarter of an inch trimmed off my hair, which is probably similar to a man, and I have very thin hair.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't it be the same? If it's a straight up cut of maybe 6 inches,
oh, you're
that's
absolutely
different.
Right. Well, no, but if you got to cut 6 inches of hair, 2 inches of hair, you're cutting hair, right?
Yeah, that's also true.
It's one cut, right? I mean, you know, it's extra trimming and fixing it, but it's,
yeah, you're not putting a dinosaur and a hedge on my head. It's a cut,
right? This isn't Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
I'm not a shrub. 312-981-7200 is my phone number. Some of you want to talk about this, Denny? You're on the air. What can I do for you?
Hey, how you doing? I don't know if you remember, but Bill Clinton got into hot water. He had a guy come on to Air Force One to cut his hair. It was like $255. Well, that's now what got him in trouble. When it was unscheduled, Air Force One was on the tarmac for an extra 25 minutes. So during that time, planes are circling around because they put a flight hold on the airport
right
during the time. So planes are flying around burning fuel. So that costs a few dollars for some airlines, I think.
If you added up the flight time and fuel costs, that may be the most expensive haircut in American history.
I would think it would be.
Yeah, I do remember that. Thanks for the phone call.
You got it.
You know, and that's how I remember it, too. I'm not sure that's what happened. I'm just saying that's how I remember it. I haven't Googled that or Snoped that, but I think that's how we all remember that story. Hey, Tina, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. So I actually, for a long time, did go to more of an upscale salon. I live out around Geneva, and you would have both a hair cutter and then a hair coloring, two different people. And I stopped going there 7 years ago, but at the time I was paying over $200 for a cut and a color.
Yeah.
Then I found this lady who she actually rents space on her own within a salon. And now I only pay $95 for a cut, color, and highlight. So it's saved me some money, but it's still a lot of money. And I go every 7 weeks, so, you know, that's a lot of money throughout the year. My husband, when he goes, he pays $20.
That's amazing. That's, yeah, 20
bucks. Yeah. $20.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't understand that.
It is definitely an inequity, and it is frustrating. And like you guys were saying, like, I could see the difference for the coloring part because that's a lot of skill. You don't want somebody messing up your hair that doesn't know about the chemicals. And, you know, I've had hair colors that make your hair the weirdest shade of blonde,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
But the cut, my God, I mean, they take just a, you know, like you said, like a half an inch off my hair. They take maybe a quarter inch off my husband's hair. Why is it so much more?
Do, when you get your hair colored, I wonder if a guy gets his hair colored, do they charge the man and the woman the same amount for the color? Or I wonder if it's less for a guy.
I don't know. That's a good question. I keep trying to get my son to get some highlights put in his hair, but he won't quite go there.
Yeah, not yet. Well, thanks for the phone call.
Sure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Tina. I appreciate you listening. A text is just poured into the show. It says, I can just see Hillary Clinton sitting in the chair next to Jeff Sessions in the basement of the Senate building at the government-subsidized hair salon. That would be, what's the word we use now, awkward? Of course, a lot of people are also observing that we just really wouldn't have this conversation about a man. Now, we did about John Edwards and Bill Clinton, so I'm not sure that's entirely true. But yeah, I think we regard, treat, and talk about women in politics, high-profile ladies, differently.
No, this is not a good example of that, because we absolutely made fun of John Edwards for his haircuts and Bill Clinton. You just talked 15 minutes about Bill Clinton's
and
haircut.
And Rod Blagojevich, for that matter. I mean, Blago, do we know what Blago was paying for a haircut? Was that
too much?
the poor guy, his hair is as white as the snow right now. It's weird to see him because he still looks good. In fact, he looks great. He's working out, but his hair just could not be any whiter. And I imagine when he gets out someday, I would imagine he would color it back, especially if he looks as good as he does now. Lots of calls and texts about haircuts and what AOC spent, according to the Washington Times. I think what they did was they knew that she went there, and then they just found out what it costs, and they said, hey, a 20% tip is. And so they said this socialist politician, the darling of the left, in fact, spends $300 on a cut and color and tip, and they're crying hypocrisy. You're telling me what you pay. 262 said, geez, I spent $25 at the WCTC Beauty School for a color, and it was a great job. $25 at the school. 847 said, exact prices that I pay in Evanston, the $300 or so. That's about normal for a decent salon, John. This one says, I remember when Hillary also caught flack for doing her hair. Coloring is expensive. I'm frugal, and I pay almost as much as that for a good cut prior to a big social event. And this one noticed what producer Aleph called Lauren Latka's eyebrows. It says, on fleek? Question mark. Producer Aleph, what is the hip definition of on fleek, please?
According to UrbanDictionary.com, on fleek is a slang term used by uncultured idiots to describe perfection, John.
They didn't say uncultured idiots, did they?
Read it and weep.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the way you dropped that was very good.
It means on point, but Urban Dictionary users don't like it.
No kidding.
I don't either. I hated it at the time.
Wait a minute. What is the Urban Dictionary doing passing judgment about phrases? There's the Urban Dictionary. It's a bunch of mumbo jumbo to a lot of us.
I'm an uncultured idiot who likes to use the word on fleek.
On fleek. By the way, I mentioned that for $25-$30, you can get your haircut downtown Chicago at Bertha's. I had Aleph look the address up. It's 230 East Ohio, Suite 212, 230 East Ohio, Bertha's. It's where I go and happily pay and tip. Bertha's a wonderful lady. Kate, you're on WGN. What can we do for you? You're on the air.
Oh, geez. Well, I just thought that article should be headline splitting hairs.
Nice!
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little snippy, if you get my meaning.
Snippy.
Why are they even going after her for this?
Oh, I think you know the answer.
The guy. And they're not going to talk about all the good things that she is doing and the fact that she is young and the fact that she worked so hard to get in there and represent the people in her district. They're going to go after her hair like they went after Hillary, like they went after Hillary for a pantsuit. I think it's bias. It's baloney.
I think you're right about the bias. I mean, I don't think, if it was $3,000, I think you have a conversation.
Well, was that written as a news story or was that a column?
It was a news story.
Really?
By the way, the name of the place again was, I want to look it up. Hold on, I think I threw it away.
Last Tangle.
The Last Tangle. As in Last Tango in Paris. I know I don't need to explain that, but I was thinking you could even go better. You could go The Last Tangle in Harris. See?
Why would you say Harris?
Well, because it's really funny.
Oh, hair. I get it, yeah.
So then we looked up.
Guess you do have to explain it.
Okay, so here's some of the all-time great haircut and place names. Anita Haircut, A-N-I-T-A, Jack of All Fades, Hairport, Shearlock Combs.
There's one on the north side called Curl Up and Die.
Oh,
I was going to get that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know, wonderful name, but really? Really? I mean, I could see at the meeting going, curl up and die. And they all go, yeah. And then they go, no, that's not a good name for the place. Julia Scissor, Twisted Scissor, Grateful Deads or Dreads. Some of their... Lice Knowing You.
Go ahead, read the snipped one. What was it?
There's one called Blowjobs, but that's because it's the way they dry your hair. And then there's a lot of them that go down that path.
We used to take an old Lionel train transformer and hook it up to the wrought iron railings going into our front door. So when the children would walk up, we would touch the wrought iron rail and get a bit of a shock. And we could turn that up or down depending on if we like the kids.
You did not do this.
Yes, I did.
You're talking about the cost and how elaborate Halloween gets yesterday. Guy used to take his train transformer, hook it up to the metal railing going up to his steps, and then when the kids would walk up, they'd hold the rail, and he'd just turn it up and give them a little bit of a zap. He said it was fun. They'd laugh. It was a simpler time then when you could electrocute the neighbors and nobody minded. My, how times have changed. Our last conversation here about the cost of haircuts for men and women. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez got a $300 cut. The Washington Times pointed out that's a lot for a socialist. Judge that article as you will. 219 said, don't want to sound mean, but if Hillary paid $600 for her hair, she was robbed! 630 said, I'm a guy and I go to a salon on the north side of Chicago. I pay $30 for a haircut. $30 to color my white hair gray because I'm too young for white hair and too vain. Then $15 for the nose wax and $15 for ear waxing. I go every 6 to 8 weeks. A lot of information there, 630. Thank you for listening. 217, that seems to be a really rude, snarky remark you made to producer Elif today, John. Oh, Elif, you're listening to the show today, I said. Elif, it did sound bad, and I apologize for that. If that seems snippy, I didn't mean it to be. You just jumped in there so funny, that came out of my mouth.
Snippy? Elif, he's talking to you.
Wait. I was trying to make a really good haircut joke, Steve. Thanks for chiming in.
You ruined
at the wrong
that
time.
You just stepped on her moment there, Steve. But he was trying to, I don't know what he was doing. And finally, 309, John, what's wrong with people? Just shows how out of touch some politicians and some of you media people are. I'm a male, and I go to Great Clips every 3 to 4 weeks, $14.99 plus a $2 tip. It's $6 to $8 with a coupon. My wife goes every 6 weeks, $80, which includes tip. John, I used to pay $130 for a cut, color, and tip. I now pay $12 for a cut at Great Clips, and $35 for color at another salon. So there's a range. 300, was that too much? That was the question. Did you see the story in the USA Today, today, about how high the water level is on Lake Michigan? Now, this isn't brand new news. We've been following this for a while. But as the summer season ends and we go into the fall, I don't know if it's going to go up much over the winter, but I was shocked at one of the numbers that I saw. According to a story that was written by a man named Keith Matheny, he's the Great Lakes and environmental writer for the Detroit Free Press. His story was in the USA Today. The water level on Lake Michigan right now is 33 inches, right? Almost 3 feet higher than the 100-year average. If I was looking at that chart right, hey, Keith, was I looking at that chart right? You're on the air. How are you?
It's actually 35 inches for Lake Michigan and Lake Huron, which, of course, are connected up at the Straits of Mackinac.
Wow. So 3 feet. 3 feet deeper.
Yes, and those records that they're being compared against to develop the long-term averages go back about 100 years, back to the early 1900s. So it's pretty significant.
Is it that way on all of the Great Lakes, then?
All of the Great Lakes are significantly above their long-term averages. Let's see, Lake Erie is about 29 inches above, Lake Ontario about 20 inches above, and Lake Superior about 15 inches above. But remember how gigantic and deep Lake Superior is. So to be that far above its average involves a significant amount of water.
Yeah, well, same Lake Michigan too, right? I mean, in order for you to put 3 feet of water on Lake Michigan, an area that vast, is 87 gazillion gallons of water, right? It's a lot of water.
It boggles the mind, right?
Yeah. Well, so what's going on here? Why is that that way?
Well, this is the time of year where the water levels start to recede, and as we all well know, on both sides of Lake Michigan, the chaos this year with the record and near-record water levels across the Great Lakes region, well, this is the time of year where they start to go down, and people sort of count on them going down, and it is, they are indeed receding, but not so much that they're not super high compared to what they usually are. And that's what's happening here. We had a relatively wet September across the region. And according to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which tracks these water levels, that's why they continue to be high. And, of course, that has ramifications going into winter and spring. And then what are we dealing with next spring and summer?
When all of this water freezes and then it thaws and then you've got those icebergs floating down rivers and jamming up towns and flooding in the spring, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and high water levels. I was talking to a mayor on a Lake Michigan city on our side, on the Michigan side, who was talking about the problems they had last year during the winter because of high water levels. You know, when you get a wind event pushing that ice, you know, onto their nice, boardwalk type structures, it was causing a lot of damage.
Oh yeah, I can imagine that in some places. Like, what was the mayor of what town were you talking?
This was in Manistee, up in the northwest lower Michigan.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time in southwest Michigan, and a lot of that is developed, you know, with condos and harbors and docks and restaurants right on the water. I don't remember if that was an issue last year, but I could see how that could be very expensive if you get all of that ice jamming up in there, right?
Well, sure, and certainly when we had the really wet spring, for Michigan, it was our fourth consecutive year where it was just an incredible amount of rain. I think in Detroit, I believe it was in April, the amount of rain for the month was almost twice as much as is average for the month. So that, you know, coupled with the snow melt, we had a pretty decent snow last winter, led to all the problems that you know, I'm sure you saw in Chicago and we saw on our side.
You know, September, so June was the worst month any of us remembered. It was just so cold and rainy and miserable, and we were so waiting for a nice month. And summer didn't start really here until after the 4th of July. But then July, August, September weren't bad for us. But maybe I'm not remembering all of the rain events clearly. But I will tell you this. I walk up and down, ride up and down all the time Lake Michigan, and the water is noticeably deeper. And in some of the places where the city spent good money last year paving the waterfront, if you will, between Lake Michigan and Lakeshore Drive so that it can be a walkway or a bicycle path right along the lake, say downtown from Navy Pier up to Oak Street Beach and around. A lot of that's underwater. It's like 4 or 5 inches of water that people don't use. They're not even riding their bikes through it, although I guess you could. But it's just like this 5-inch deep pond along the lake. Now, I don't know what they were thinking when they did that, because all of that work is now buried underwater. You know what I mean?
Well, first, you're not incorrect. The later on in the summer, like end of June, July, and August, things were pretty normal, if not, you know, a little bit below average for precipitation. But I guess sort of the damage had been done by the very wet spring. These are all such vast interconnected water systems that it's sort of a slow reaction time to additional inputs. So we were kind of still feeling the effects of it into summer from damage that had basically been done in April and May and the start of June.
Yeah.
And I hear you on the infrastructure problems. I feel like we just sort of we had a considerable amount of problems with, you know, flooded campgrounds, structures, you know, that are threatened because of shoreline erosion. All of the beaches on our side of Lake Michigan basically vanished this year, and it was just basically waterline up to an eroded bank and then, you know, trees and grass. Certainly private property owners were dealing with vast chunks of their property, you know, being lost to the water.
Right, and, absolutely.
But we sort of just kind of barely got by on that this year. Well, if we're looking at another kind of typical to what we've had recently, spring and start to summer, we're starting at a baseline. The Army Corps says in January 2020, the water that on Lakes Michigan and Huron, they expect it to be 11 inches higher than it was in January 2019. So we're starting at that higher baseline. If we have the same kinds of things happen, you know, with snow and with spring rain, look out. It's going to be a true mess in 2020.
On a phone line, Keith Matheny, the Great Lakes and environmental writer for the Detroit Free Press. His piece in the USA Today talks about how high the water levels are and that here in Chicago on Lake Michigan, the water is 3 feet, 35 inches deeper than the 100-year, deeper than the historic average. And this is my guess, Keith, tell me if I'm right. Climate change, the weather's more volatile, it's warmer, it's throwing up more moisture, we're getting heavier rains, and while we're not on the ocean, our lake is going up just because of the increased rain activity, and that could be attributed to climate change. Is that what happened?
Certainly, there are researchers out there who believe that is a factor and possibly a significant factor. According to the historical temperature and precipitation data that NOAA and others keep, the Great Lakes region is warming faster than the rest of the contiguous United States, and we're seeing more precipitation. And again, this isn't some model forecasting out into the future. This is the historic record of what's been happening, you know, over the last 50, 60 years. So we're getting warmer, warmer temperatures. We're seeing more precipitation in the springtime, and we're seeing more strong storms, and more rain is falling in those strong storms. All of that's going to obviously contribute to water levels. Conversely, they're expecting in the future that our winters might be a little milder on average, and maybe there'll be less ice cover on the Great Lakes over winter. If that occurs, that increases the opportunity for evaporation. And, of course, a hot summer is going to contribute to evaporation as well. That might tend to mitigate, really disastrous rises in water levels, you know, going through the rest of this century.
But it's interesting to me, though, because when we talk about climate change, and that's not why I called you, but here we are. When we talk about climate change, it seems like we're always saying, okay, so in 100 years, the Miami will be underwater. Or in 75 years, X, Y, or Z will happen. This is happening right now, though. I mean, 3 feet is a lot of water. It's happening to, that's what's out there out my window right now. I'm looking at it.
Right, indeed. It's true. And, you know, again, like I said, we've had, at a minimum, three straight springs where it's just off the charts rainier than it's been, over the long-term historical average. I talked to some corn farmers this year who didn't plant their crops until, you know what, in the start of June, and that's really unusual for them. At times they start in April historically, but I'm looking at this, you know, farmer's field as far as the eye can see, you know, around Memorial Day, and there's nothing planted. You know, that's pretty chaotic for them as well.
I got farmer friends, and some of them didn't plant at all. They took the insurance, and that's not always a great deal for them. It's 149, and Keith Matheny's on a phone line from the USA Today. The number's 312-981-7200. What have you seen? And is your lake front really high? Is your town's beach underwater? I'm just kind of anecdotally wondering what's going on out there. You can call or text me right now. We're talking for just a couple more minutes with Keith Matheny. He's an environmental writer at the Detroit Free Press. His story in the USA Today is about how high the Great Lakes are. And here in Chicago, wherever you're listening to us, if you're near Lake Michigan, the water's 3 feet deeper. Keith, we'll take a couple calls from our listeners. Hey, John, you're on WGN. What can I do for you?
Hey, yes, I'm a former lifeguard on the lakefront in Chicago, and back in the 80s, the water was just as high or higher than it is now.
Wow.
And I firmly believe that there's some cycle that occurs at least 30, 40 years on the lakefront up here, so it's not totally related, maybe it's somewhat related to what you're talking about, but this happens all the time.
Yeah, interesting observation. Keith, what about that?
There definitely is a cycle to the lakes. I think all of us long-timers around the Great Lakes will remember what? I think it was 2013 where we were at or approaching record low water levels. So there certainly could be something to that. I know I can tell you the research from a variety of different researchers projects that while it will continue to be cyclical, the upward trend, like if you stand back far enough, that kind of slant line in a graph is on an upward trajectory. So, and that's going to be one of the complications, is how do we deal with our infrastructure around the shorelines? Like if everybody builds up right now these great walls around the Great Lakes to deal with record high water levels, what happens if they go down again, not even to 2013 levels, but, you know, just down again? We don't really have the kind of dynamism to sort of move back and forth between the cycles.
One more question from one of our listeners. This is Janet, or an observation maybe. Hi, Janet, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to tell you that we every year we go to South Haven, Michigan with the whole family, and there's 10 of us, and every year we sit right near the water, and we are about 60 feet from the playground that's on the beach. And this year, we always say, no, you go watch the kids at the playground. No, you go watch the kids at the playground, because it's too far to watch them. So this year, we went, and we were sitting at the playground because we were 15 feet from the shore.
15 feet. Wow. And just,
yeah, that's really the story all around the our side of Lake Michigan, for sure. Absolutely.
Boy, that's just a lot of space that people, you know, it's nice to have a big beach. When you're all crowded on a small beach, now there's not enough room or as much room for everybody, right?
Right. It was very small and really surprising.
Interesting. And too bad. You know, I don't know what we're going to do about that. It is what it is, but it's at least good to know. You know, I was thinking if I was going to buy real estate, I don't know that I would buy it that close to the lake right now, given what's been happening.
Well, there's that, and then going back to what the caller said, one of the things I'll be interested in this coming, you know, going into summer, obviously lakefront tourism is a massive thing in the Great Lakes region, and people kind of still carried out their vacation plans this year and were surprised by the conditions that they encountered. If next year they know going in it's going to be worse or about the same, will they still make that day trip? Will they still make that weekend trip or that week vacation? And what's going to be the economic impact if they don't?
Keep doing what you're doing, Keith. It's nice to talk to you. You're obviously expert on this. I'll give you a call again another day.
Thank you, sir.
As I like to say, if you don't already, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper. He's with the USA Today, Keith Matheny.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have
this to. This just in.
Here's John Williams.
Cost of John Edwards' haircut, $1,250. Hi, it's John. We're in the Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago, talking about all kinds of things today. The level of water on Lake Michigan, the cost of a decent haircut and color. It's Friday, so that means we'll do our Bright Side of Life segment, too, around 2:40. Where will you be at 2:40? Be here for us. We'll be here for you. I'm telling you what, that Bright Side gets your weekend off to a good start, even if Steve just used the W word. Wind chill factor expected tonight, Steve? Was that what you were talking about?
No, it's 45 now, which isn't much. It's 46, I think, officially. But we're going to get the low tonight at O'Hare could be 33.
Crikey.
And there's a freeze warning out in the next level of suburbs, like beyond DuPage County. So,
yeah. But you did give us a wind chill, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I said it was 45, because that's what the Weather Service is reporting.
Got it. So the Washington Times had that story. I got a lot of the ground to cover here, but I've just been getting a lot of texts. I thought I'd mention this. We did the Washington Times story, the exclusive, about what AOC spends on her haircut, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's the famous socialist left-wing politician, and so they like to take shots at her. And a couple of you have reminded me that the Washington Times is owned by the Unification Church. It's part of Sun Myung-moon's conglomerate. Of course they're taking shots at her. It's a very conservative paper. I know that. I mean, I think I knew that, but I knew it was a conservative paper. But what was remarkable to me was that they were saying that $3 is an outrageous amount of money and that she could get her hair cut at the same place Jeff Sessions does, which is the Russell Senate Office Building, which offers subsidized haircuts to the public and the politicians. And a few of you have noticed that and said, wait a minute, 847 says, we subsidize haircuts.
Is it to the public too, or just it is?
Well, I don't know that a lot of people from the Beltway or in the outlying areas are driving into the Capitol buildings to the Senate office building, going in the basement and getting their hair cut, but you and I could walk in there and get our hair cut. John, I'm appalled that there's such a thing as a government-subsidized salon. I'll bet the average person walking the halls there is making six figures or close to it. 847, why are we subsidizing a barbershop? 708 said, by the way, John, there's a place near me called I'll Cut You. We're talking about funny names for places. John, the haircut isn't a bad price for a regular haircut, even $300 for the cut and color, but it's too high for a self-proclaimed socialist. Doesn't she own a large bowl and scissors? A few of you asked this, 847, what's Trump pay for his cut and what color is that?
Well, he gets hair plugs too, doesn't he?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that was mentioned in his doctor report because he takes, there's certain side effects because of the hair plugs to his health.
How about that? I didn't know about that. I don't remember that.
I have no idea what those run, but.
Christine in Bucktown said, sorry, not sorry. Haircutting is a skill that someone goes to school to learn how to do. Like many other things, some practitioners are better than others, and I'm willing to pay for a better practitioner, time and money. Hashtag you get what you pay for. Lots of texts, too, about the level of the water in Lake Michigan and elsewhere. I'll get to those a little later on. Well, actually, it's right here. Let me just mention these while it's on our mind. John, here in southwest Michigan, water levels on inland lakes has been so high, some boat docks are underwater or at water level. Across the lake, 269 says, in St. Joe, much of the very popular Silver Beach is gone, and several houses have decks in the lake now, and foundations are threatened. This is a cycle I've witnessed before over my 60 years, but people have short memories, and they build there anyway. And finally, Pentwater, this is from 630 Michigan. We go every year, Pentwater, Michigan, over 5 miles of beach to walk. We were only able to walk one half of a mile before the beach became impossible to continue. This happened once about 10 years ago. It's happening maybe a little more often than it used to. Have you seen the story to, where was the town? Was it Tinley Park? This is from the Chicago Tribune today. It's the story out of Tinley Park. The PAWS organization there took in 28 emaciated cats. I didn't see that any of them had to be destroyed, but 9 of them needed emergency care. 1 had a broken jaw. 2 are going to lose an eye. They evidently found out about this hoarder who had cats that were not at all being well taken care of, and they moved in to rescue them. Terry's on a phone line. Terry Buckley, you're on WGN. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
You are the vice president of PAWS at Tinley Park, is that right?
That's correct.
How do you find out about a situation like this?
We found out through the Tinley Park Police Animal Control Officer. There were residents in a townhouse that were complaining about the odor. So when the animal control officer went to investigate, she realized how many cats were there, and she asked PAWS to assist with the recovery of those animals.
Is the person face criminal charges, or do they get arrested? What happens to somebody that does that?
Well, this lady happened to turn the cats over to us. Sometimes with hoarding situations, the individual refuses to do that, and then legal action has to be taken in order to confiscate the cats or dogs at the time. Mm-hmm. She happened to actually allow us to go into her townhouse and take the animals, remove the animals. As far as facing charges, she did have to appear in court. She did plead guilty to all charges. I'm not sure if there will be other charges that she will be facing.
A hoarder, so does she hoard pets, or does she hoard stuff? Does she hoard both?
This was just hoarding cats.
Isn't that weird? So otherwise she has maybe not a normal domicile there, but it's not like it's piled to the ceiling with newspapers and stuff.
No, it was in a small condo, 30 cats running around, most of them very sick. Yeah. No carpet. The carpet was pulled up because of the urine and feces. There were empty cat litter containers all over. The furniture was torn to shreds, and there was the smell of urine was so strong that it actually makes your eyes water.
Makes your heart break for everybody, certainly the animals, but also a human being living in that condition just must not be well. That's just a sick person.
Correct. You know, most hoarders start off, you know, with very good hearts. They're, you know, they're either given animals, or if they find animals, they take good care of them, but they don't have the money or the means to get the animals fixed. They take in more animals, and they keep producing kittens upon kittens upon kittens.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it just gets out of hand. So most of them have a very big heart.
So I wonder where the family members are of an individual like that. I mean, it just
seems
like...
You know, I don't know. I know this individual had adult children that did not live in the same state. But it's very hard, you know, to get someone to turn over their animals. You know, and if you do have a lot of animals, or you're allowed where you live to have a lot of animals, then it's your responsibility, once you bring an animal into your home, to make sure that it's fed, that it has water, that it gets medical attention when needed. And none of that was done.
Yeah. Well, I didn't call you to talk about this woman, but more about the pets, although I'm just as concerned about a person like that. I hope that that person also gets, I don't know, some sort of counseling. I hope they don't do this again, for instance.
I hope they don't either. And I hope she does get counseling. Again, most people that do that are very kind people, and it just gets out of control.
You know, Terry, my wife and I are on websites all the time looking for rescue animals. We've rescued some. We only have one right now, but sometimes we've had two. Anyway, it's amazing to me how many of the dogs we look at, dachshunds, have no teeth.
Correct. Yes.
What's going on there?
Well, I'm not a vet, but what I've been told is a lot of the smaller breeds have a lot of issues with their teeth. And that's why, you know, a lot of the vets will tell you sometimes it's better for them to eat the hard food, the dry food, because it does help clean their teeth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, dental is something, you know, that animals do need every few years, a good cleaning.
And it's expensive.
Yes, it is very expensive. So if you're going to own a cat or a dog, you have to realize that through the years, it's going to cost you money.
Chicago Tribune story notes in their second sentence, one of the female cats was toothless as well. And so are these then, what does PAWS do then? Do you all help these animals out and get them adopted out then?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we're a no-kill animal shelter. So all the animals were taken to the shelter and they were assessed. Eight or nine were immediately sent to the vet that we work with severe upper respiratory infection. They were all beautiful cats, very scared but very friendly.
Yeah.
They should weigh between, you know, if they were healthy cats, probably between 6 to 10 pounds, and these cats weighed 3 to 4.5 pounds. So they were probably half their body weight. Some of them were long-haired. One of them, before we had it groomed, it would weigh 4.8 pounds. After it was groomed, it weighed 3.8. So 1 pound of that animal's weight was just mats.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, when you get mats that are that heavy, it pulls away from the skin. And it's actually very painful for the animal.
God bless the people that do this, that donate, that take care of these animals, that rescue them. I mean, that's a calling. I'm glad that you all do that.
Yeah, it's an honor to do it. You know, it's we have over 200 volunteers, so we're very blessed. We're surrounded by a great community that always come in and makes donations. And our medical bills alone are between $30,000 and $35,000 a month, just to supply the medical that these animals need, so we can get them healthy, happy, and then find them that forever home.
Well, then, at the end of this conversation, let's give a website out so people can make a $30,000 donation to you and help you do what
you
do.
That would be great, because our goal is to, we're a very old shelter and small. Our goal is to one day build a new shelter where the animals actually have more room and better ventilation and so forth. So that is one of our goals, and if anyone out there can help with that, that would be great.
To the one in Tinley, huh?
Correct, Tinley Park. The People's Animal Welfare Society of Tinley Park.
One last thing about these animals. If I rescue one that's been through a traumatic life like that, I wonder what am I borrowing here?
You know, most of the animals that have had that, and you bring them into your home, you give them a couple weeks to adjust, and they realize they're in a great home, and they're going to have food and water and be loved, they turn out to be the best pets ever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's the web address for Paws in Tinley Park?
It's actually pawstinleypark.org.
What a coincidence. That's where you're located. Pawstinleypark.org. Pawstinleypark.org. You can go there and find out more information. And I presume
correct.
There's
and
a
you can always check our website, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, so then are these pets... Suppose this story has moved somebody to say, okay, I want to rescue one of those cats. How do they do that?
Well, they could always check our website, but the cats are not up for adoption right now because they're still sick. And before we adopt any animal out, we want to make sure they get a clean bill of health from the from our vet. So these animals have to actually put on a couple pounds first. They have to get over. All of them have a severe upper respiratory. Two of them are going to lose an eye. They all have to be spayed and neutered. So in order for us to get them to that point, it's going to be a couple weeks, and then so probably in 2 to 3 weeks, we're hoping that we could start putting them up for adoption.
Paws in Tinley Park, Vice President there is Terry Buckley. Terry, if we can help you out down the road, you let us know, okay?
I will do that, and thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Thank you for doing what you do. It's 2:20. Did you hear yesterday we were talking to the people behind and then some of the entrepreneurs that were participating in that South Side pitch contest? Last night they had a competition. It's for entrepreneurs, small business wannabes in the South Side. And they say, okay, give us your best pitch, sort of like Shark Tank. The winner gets $5,000 and free legal advice. It's actually put on by an organization that advises businesses on legal things. And any entrepreneur, even if you got a better mousetrap, realizes, oh, well, what kind of a corporation am I going to be? What do I need to know about business? I'm not a lawyer, right? I just came up with X. So this legal organization has this Southside pitch contest. And a couple of the entrepreneurs were in our studio, and one of them won, as it turns out, last night. We'll say hello to that person, tell you what it is and how you can get their product after this.
Doors are being slammed in your face, and bad credit is holding you back. Raise Credit has dedicated over 40 years to helping everyone get a 750 credit score. $99 can get you started, guaranteed, or your money back. Bankruptcy, tax liens, judgments, and even late pays can be removed from your personal credit report. If you need a credit score to 750, $99 can get you started. Raise Credit has built millions in credit for personal and business. If you need $5,000 to $50,000 and more, Raise Credit will give you what you want. Call 800-543-5772. That's 800-543-5772. If you need a credit score of 750, $5,000 to $50,000 of credit, you're just one call away. Call 800-543-5772. That's 800-543-5772. If you need your credit score to go up, Raise Credit is the only one that can help. Raise Credit will personally rebuild your credit to a 750 and build you all the credit you need, guaranteed or your money back. Call Raise Credit. Call 800-543-5772. That's 800-543-5772.
Tonight on a very special Extension 720. For most people, Chicago violence happens in a neighborhood somewhere else. But in back of the yards, it's something you plan for every day. How one community copes and hopes for something better. Tonight after 7 on WGN Radio.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago. That's this Saturday at 9 a.m. You'll learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy is Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV. Famous sayings about knees. I'll go first. Knee slapper, bee's knees, knee high to a grasshopper. And who will forget, oh, I can't do that now. My knee hurts too much. I'm John Williams. And if you especially know that last famous knee saying, go to that Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park or Oak Brook. I think you're going to open up a third one, too. This is a going concern, this Joint Relief Institute. People have knee pain, and they help them manage it. It's outpatient. In fact, it's a non-surgical, painless, quick procedure. They use digital imaging. They see where your knees failed, and then they're able to painlessly put a lubricant into that spot. They did this for me a couple of times. I wanted to make sure that I was telling you what it's like, and this is the truth. When I was, the first time I had it done, I looked at the imaging. It was like in real time, you see a knee and I go, wow, look at that. That's your knee. Then I looked away and then I looked back and I go, well, what's that now? Because I didn't think it was my knee. And they go, that's your knee. I said, well, there's a spike in it. I looked down. They had put the needle, if you will, right into my knee. I didn't even notice it. Spike is maybe an exaggeration, but you could see the thing in there. And then they released the lubricant into the exact spot. You can watch it. I did. where your tissue has deteriorated. This works. And by the way, they've got an insurance specialist to make sure you get maximum coverage. Medicare, too. You got nothing to lose. In fact, your first visit for an evaluation and x-ray is free. Call 708-888-0000. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. It's 223. It was fun yesterday. We had the organizer and then a couple of these entrepreneurs. There were six that were in the finals, and they were trying to see who would win this Southside Pitch Entrepreneurship Contest. The winner, as I recall, got $5,000 and I think free legal services. That was the prize. There were other prizes for some of the others, but I was rooting for them both, and son of a gun, one of them won. Sylvia Emowa is on a phone line. Sylvia, this is John. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are the co-creator of Denobi Detergent. Yes. For those who didn't hear yesterday, Denobi Detergent is something that you and your husband came up with, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Sorry?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, so basically we do have a large family, as I mentioned before, and I didn't encounter anything with eczema, which about 35 million people suffer from, and until I got married and started having children, and yeah, it became a real problem, the itchy inflammation of the skin, and I wanted something that was plant-based, that was not going to harm the skin, but that would be extremely effective, and we're able to get an organic chemist, and here we are.
Yeah. Because you also told us with those four kids, you had a lot of cloth diapers. And
yes.
So when you're doing loads of all kinds of laundry, you wanted a detergent that was going to be effective and that was also yes. not going to be as abrasive to your skin as at least you were. Yes. You the only one to kind of feel the ill effects of the detergent you were using, or did your whole family go through something?
As far as the irritation,
yeah,
so it started with my husband. He grew up, he has eczema, severe eczema. Right. And then, of course, as we started having children, the children pop up with it. I just developed sensitivities, or I've always been sensitive to certain chemicals in certain, like, shampoos or different detergents in particular. And, you know, we were buying five different things, and I just said, well, there's got to be a way to put it all in one, but not harm the skin and still be effective. Because there are other plant-based detergents, but, you know, based on our kind of Q&A with some of our customers, it's just not as effective.
Right.
Based on own experience, they're not as effective. So people, you know, kind of give you that, well, you know, I know it's plant-based, but I don't know if it cleans anything. So, yeah, we combine the two, and like, we've gotten great results.
Denobi detergent. So is it a liquid? Is that what you said? It doesn't come in a pod. It comes as a liquid, right?
It comes as a liquid. We found the liquid to be the most effective so far, but we do have plans, long-term plans, for our own type of pod, but not the typical type of pod. But that'll be down the road, yeah.
So how do people buy your product now?
So right now, we're mainly online at Denobi, D-I-N-O-B-I. Denobi Detergent.squarespace.com.
We'll put a link up on my page. So as you're listening to this, if you don't remember, DenobiDetergent.squarespace.com, D-I-N-O-B-I, Denobi Detergent. We'll make it easy for you to find. Just go to WGNRadio.com and look on the John Williams page, and I'll have a link to it there, too. Well, good luck. Congratulations. $5,000, right?
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
And
so hopefully you guys will be hearing a lot from us.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of curious. You know, I don't do much laundry, but B, I don't know mm-hmm. that we have these issues per se. Mm-hmm. But I'm also just kind of curious to see what it looks like, what it smells like, how does it work. Maybe mm-hmm. I'll experience benefits I didn't even know. So denobidetergent.squarespace.com. And
yes.
The company is... Sylvia Emwas and your husband's, right?
Yes.
Yeah, on the South Side. They won the South Side Pitch Entrepreneurship Contest. All right, Sylvia, congratulations. Good luck. We'll be in touch.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate it.
You betcha. Yeah, they were in our studio yesterday. I think the other guy's name was Josh Williams. He was a former University of Illinois at Chicago basketball player. He's also a father of four. He and his wife have four kids, and he looks like a power forward. He's a big dude. And he was saying that the larger his family got, the dirtier his car got. So he came up with a "we come to you" car wash business. And I don't know that they're, I think that's up and running too. And the idea would be if you have a small fleet of vehicles, you know, he seemed to be less interested in coming to my house or say wherever I park my car, wherever you park your car. But if you had a fleet of vehicles, I think there'd be enough scale there he could make money on it, right? So for $30, you got five cars in your fleet, they come out, and at $30 a car, something like this, they clean the vehicles. It's also what he described as a waterless system. They have a solvent they use. I don't know if they're squeegeeing or rubbing, but you don't need a hose. You don't need a lot of water. You don't need a lot of drain space. They could do it right there where you work or wherever your vehicles are. And that was, I thought, a pretty good idea as well. And doggone it now, the name of that escapes me. Wash on Wheels. Thank you, Aleph. Wash on Wheels.
Has anybody ever shed the news? You ain't as big as you say. I got a vision worth something in me, yeah. And not to worry about a thing. So tell me what you really believe in. Always caught up in your mind. I got a feeling that something's about to change.
Thank you, Steve Bertrand. It's 2:34. Fridays after WGN Radio News with Steve, producer Elif plays a song for us for a reason. What are we listening to here?
Caravan Palace. They will be playing the House of Blues tonight at 6:30. Tickets are still available on Ticketmaster for $32.
This is awesome.
I know.
I don't think I know them, Elif.
I told you to listen to them.
Well, when do I do what you tell me to do, Elif? Ever? This is pretty good. Without a care, with nothing to prove. Not to worry about things. All right, let's talk about some other things fun to do this weekend. Do you have the marathon or do I have the marathon?
You have the marathon.
Chicago Marathon is this weekend, and actually, if you had to pick a day, Saturday or Sunday, Sunday would be the better one. It says here the Chicago Marathon is tomorrow, though. Spectator Guide is online, chicagomarathon.com. You can support a runner. I love watching the marathon.
Do
I think
you?
It's so much fun. I know. What's so fun about just watching a bunch of people slog by, but I really enjoy it.
It's very inspirational, and it's amazing to see these athletes, or even just people that aren't athletes but are participating, and they just made an effort to really train themselves. I admire them because I can't run for 2 minutes.
And that's the thing, that the first time I watched a marathon go by, I thought, some of these people are great athletes, and some of them don't look any better than me.
Right.
Some of them are older, some of them are heavier, some of them are whatever, and I think, well, I could do that. But they're doing it, so, you know, props.
Yeah.
Every person that's running the marathon is telling you a success story, or or is having a moment in their life that's really important to them, and you get to watch. A million people will see it, and I'm a champion. Listen, I've run some.
Mm-hmm.
Better to watch than to run is my advice.
Right, so, to run and finish one, that's a huge accomplishment. Everyone should be very proud.
Yeah, be advised if you're driving around town tomorrow morning, the traffic will be something you'll need to navigate. What else is going on?
So if you're the exact opposite of someone who's going to be running in the Chicago Marathon, the Chicago Bacon and Beer Classic is going on this weekend. It's actually tomorrow, but that's at Soldier Field. Starts at 2 p.m. You can get VIP tickets and get in at 1 p.m. Tickets start from $65. But of course, you get to enjoy bacon-inspired tastes from local restaurants, craft beer, music, and a bunch of interactive games.
Festivale is a craft beer tasting event. It's 6:30 tonight at Artifact Events in Ravenswood. That's a neat space, Artifact. The event is free. Donations go towards Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Festivale, 6:30 tonight in Ravenswood.
Very nice. Something that I wouldn't think you'd want to do over the weekend now that it's cold, but still pretty cool. Chicago Campfire Festival. So this includes real campfires, marshmallow roasting, s'mores, cocoa, a pumpkin patch, a corn maze, bounce house, face painting. I could keep going on, but that's over in Chase Park, 2 to 10:30 tomorrow.
Ace Comic Con is this weekend. Jake Gyllenhaal, Kit Harington, Taron Egerton, Kiernan Shipka, and some other names that I'm probably going to mispronounce and more.
Brie Larson, Tom Holland, really? Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. All at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center today through Sunday. 3-day general admission tickets start at $95. If you're into this, you probably knew all about this. AceComicCon.com to find out more.
Elif wants to chime in on that. I don't know if you heard her.
No, I did not.
All right, here I am. So Kiernan Shipka, she used to be on Mad Men. She was the daughter of Betty, whatever their last name is.
No kidding, really?
Draper.
Yeah.
Really? And then...
Betty is her?
Yeah, no, Betty is her mom.
Yeah, so
January
Betty,
Jones.
The daughter.
And then Egerton.
Taron Egerton, yeah. Elton John.
And Elton John and Rocketman, yeah.
Fair enough, okay.
He's a celebrity
people.
Crush of mine. I might have to go just
he's
for
cute.
That.
He's cute, yeah. Okay.
So talented.
Couple
okay,
more.
Anyways, the Harvest Fest is this weekend in Bensonville. That's tomorrow from 12 to 6. That's formerly known as Heritage Day, so if you're a fan of that. But you get to celebrate fall with inflatables, a petting zoo, pony rides, a craft sale, pumpkin painting, hay rides, live entertainment, a beer garden, and of course, plenty of food. So, strangely enough, $6 for each child 2 to 17, but if you're under 2 and over 18, it's free. So, I don't know why it's the opposite, but...
Hey. There you go. By the way, the Cubs and White Sox are idle this weekend. The Bears are off this weekend. The Blackhawks play the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow at home, still looking for their first win. Mm-hmm. Come on, guys. A lot of goals last night, but too many given up. 6 o'clock will be the puck drop tomorrow. You'll hear it here on WGN. You got one more for me?
I do. The Great Highwood Pumpkin Festival. That's all weekend. Today, 4 to 11. Saturday, 8 to 11. And Sunday, 11 to 9. Just another typical fall festival. So you got some trick-or-treating for today. A 5K tomorrow. Costume contests on Sunday. But then carnival rides, vendors, pumpkin carving. And that's downtown Highwood.
Poe, are we on Facebook right now? Oh, hi, Facebook. If you like me on Facebook, I'm WGN King John. WGN King John on Facebook. We're streaming live right now. All right, so I'm going to take a break now, right, Ella? He said, yep, take a break. Come back. We'll do the bright side. This is your chance to, on Facebook, you can comment. You can also text or call right now, 312-981-7200. Tell us something good in your world. Tell us what's making you smile. What's your bright side? Is Brian Altimer going to come storming in here again the way he often does and tell us what his bright side is? All right, here we go. This is our little song.
Some things in life are bad.
Hi to our Facebook friends.
They can really make you mad.
312.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
981-7200.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
Oh, good. Kevin's over there.
Grumble.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm great, Sean.
We're doing a group whistle?
Yeah, let's do that. It'll take the pressure off me.
You can solo if you want.
I'm all about we, not me.
Okay. All right, everybody, let's help him out. Here we go.
Always teamwork makes the dream work.
I think that was more was less.
You did that on purpose, John.
There's something you forgot.
That may be the biggest group whistle in Chicago history.
I'm proud of us.
I hope you're whistling at home as well. 312-981-7200. Kev, you got the mic hot. What's your bright side,
my
friend?
I'm just happy Blackhawks hockey's back, John. It's my little sanctuary at the United Center. When it's freezing cold and there's snow and wind outside, we can go into the madhouse on Madison and have a good time. Although, not the results we were hoping for last night.
No, not yet. Not yet. Still waiting for the first W. Hey, Kim Gordon in the newsroom. You want to play Bright Side? What's
Absolutely.
Your bright side?
Absolutely. I have grandchild number 2 coming in April.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
Hey! You just got that word, did you?
Well, I've known, but now I'm allowed to say it.
Yes, right. Okay. Well, congrats.
All's good. Yeah. Thank you.
How about you, Lauren Lapka? What's making you smile?
Well, that group whistle is definitely a bright side now. But my other bright side is I think I'm finally going to carve a pumpkin this weekend.
Oh, really?
One of my favorite things about the fall.
Yeah. I love doing it and don't love doing it. It's so...
Oh, I get a little too intricate. They take me about 8 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, are you sure?
I'll show you some really detailed ones.
I'm anxious to see. Teddy Roosevelt was coming to Chicago today. He and I do our show tomorrow, and he's flying through North Dakota. The blizzard canceled flight.
Yeah.
So we were worried he wasn't going to be able to be there, but he made his flight. He's going to join us, TR and I, tomorrow on stage at Elgin. Really looking forward to that. What's making you smile? Boy, lots of calls. Let's get going here. Hey, Sandy, you're first. What's your bright side?
Well, my daughter's playing Sophie in Mamma Mia at the Woodstock Opera House this weekend and next. And not only does that make me happy, it's been making everybody happy since last weekend. Amen. You guys would love it.
Wow. Thanks for the call. Congrats, Mom. Hey, Kevin, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Kevin?
I was on my way home from Ohio visiting a friend back to Illinois and stopped off at a gas station in Indiana and bought a $10 scratcher, and it ended up being $50,000.
What?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
When did this happen?
Yesterday.
Oh.
Drinks on you tonight, my friend.
Yeah, what are you going to do with that?
Actually, it's funny. I think after taxes, it'll be the exact amount I owe on my house. I'm just going to pay off my house.
Wow. That's a blessing right there.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, now do that. Don't go blowing it. Don't go buying
it. No, it was, you know, it was hard for me to even spend 10 on a scratcher, but I was like, eh, what the heck, I'll try it.
Ah, congrats, man. Yeah. Happy for you.
Thank you.
It's not a contest, but top that. Wow. What are you reading?
Man, 630, we're heading to South Bend to tailgate with our daughter and go to the USC and Notre Dame game. Go Irish. I'd agree with that sentiment. Go
Irish.
Yeah,
no kidding. Right side of life. Hey, Mike, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Mike? You're on the air.
Yeah, John, my wife, actually, I got two things. First one is my wife has got arthritis in both of her knees, and she's been going to the Joint Relief Institute over in Oak Brook, and I'm glad to say that it really, really works.
You did not have to say that, but in fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you the Bright Side of Life pin, which is sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute, but let me give you a couple of those. What's your other one?
The other one is we're celebrating our 47th wedding anniversary, the 1st of November, and Sunday we're leaving for a cruise to celebrate.
Oh, well,
and your knees won't hurt while you're doing it, so that's all good news.
That's right.
Hey, Mike, hold on. Talk to producer Ellis. We'll get you that pin. Something you forgot. Got shiny Bright Side of Life pins for some of you. What are you reading now?
630 Bright Side. They're running in the Chicago Marathon with their dad. It will be his 30th and their 21st. So blessed to share this with my dad. That's amazing.
That is amazing. For all of you runners and watchers, have a great weekend. Come on. How about Christian? You're on WGN. Let me see what line you're on, Christian. It looks like Christian's on 11. Hey, Christian, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi. This weekend, I'm going to the pumpkin patch with my grandma and all five of my grandma and grandpa and all five of my cousins.
Oh, what a a fun weekend! How, five cousins of you? We all be five or six of you?
What?
Exactly. What a stupid question. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm putting you on hold. You talk to producer Elif, and Elif, however many cousins, they all get a Bright Side of Life pin. Always look on the right side. Hey, Pat, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Pat? You're on the air.
Oh, hi, John. My daughter, Natalie, and her wonderful fiancé, Nathan, are engaged, and we're throwing a huge Oktoberfest-themed barbecue in the yard Sunday, and it's not going to rain.
It's not going to rain.
Fun.
And that's to love. All right, read me another one.
Okay, so another 630. A lot of 630s. My wife had the ultrasound this morning, and we're having another baby boy come February. Can't wait for my 2-year-old son to be a big brother. Oh, congratulations.
Hey, Bridget, you're on WGN. Give me some good news, Bridget. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from Polo, Illinois, and I would love to wish my Polo High School football team good luck at their game tonight, because tonight is our football game, and it is homecoming weekend.
Oh, that is the most fun. That is the most fun.
I miss
fun.
Homecoming.
Oh, that's so much fun. Bridget, have a great time. Good luck to your team.
Thank you. It's your
last chance. Hey, Stefan, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Stefan? You're on the air.
Well, I tell you, last Thursday I got out of the hospital, and Friday I got in a car accident and totaled my car, but nobody got hurt. Tuesday, I dropped my phone in the sink with all my dirty dishes.
Oh, no.
But yesterday, I got a brand new phone for free.
Wow! What a week,
Stefan. I don't want to hear from you again, man. There's too much going on there. Well, you have a great weekend, my friend.
Oh, yes, I will. Thank you.
That's the glasses half full. I just got out of the hospital, totaled my car, but I wasn't injured.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good weekend. That could be worse. Lauren Lapka, what are you reading?
815 says their birthday is October 14th. They will turn 50, and it's been 37 years since they had cancer, and they're still cancer-free. Mike, by the way. So congrats to Mike, and happy birthday.
Amen to that. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Jim? You're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, this is John. You're on the radio.
How you doing, John?
I'm good. What's your bright side?
My bright side is I have two beautiful daughters, 30 and 40, and they're alive and they're kicking good.
Gotta always be happy about that.
Every day. Yeah, sometimes you just should not take for granted good health. If you're all alive, well, and together, then you win. Thank you for the call. Producer Olaf, what are you reading on Facebook?
Scott Galazinki says, my bright side is I can see Lauren live on this. She's so beautiful.
Well, Lauren, thank you. Facebook Live, WGN King John. I think I'm washing out myself. I'm wearing a white shirt today. Should have thought of that.
Did we white balance that?
Yeah, I know. I hope we could not.
Heather Ruth says, my bright side is watching The Bright Side. And then finally, Jonathan Eltravoog says he's going to Burgu Fest in Utica, Illinois this weekend. Life is quite absurd, and
death's the final word. We go from there to, let's see here, Jay. Hey, Jay, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Jay? What's your bright side?
Hi, John. Well, I lost my energy assistance, I lost my food stamps, and I opened my front door this morning, and there's two beautiful, lovely meals on my doorstep.
Oh, wow.
Somebody knew you were struggling, and they did that for you, huh?
Yeah.
Jay, I'm happy to hear that. I hope you get on your feet and do well, okay?
Well, I'm a handicapped senior. That won't happen in Illinois.
Will you hang in there, my friend?
Thank you.
There are definitely good people out there. That's perfect food.
Debbie, this is John. You're on WGN. Debbie is on line 8. Hi, Debbie. What's your bright side?
Hi. So happy to be on the bright side. I am going to be on a 2-week vacation starting this weekend, and that hasn't happened in years. It's going to be a working vacation, but it's still a vacation.
Oh, have fun.
Tony, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Tony? You're on the air.
Bright side is I had Irish coffee last week while sitting in Ireland. I went for 7 days to Ireland. My boss paid for it all. For missing one day of work in 20 years, I got a free trip.
Wow.
No kidding. What's the company? I want to work for this guy.
It's a small trucking firm.
Do they need a talk show host by any chance?
No, but I listen to them all day long in the truck. So.
Thank you, sir. Well, I'm glad that you're working there, and congratulations. Nothing wrong with an Irish coffee in Ireland.
Oh, I bet it tastes better.
Yeah, I felt that. I was in Ireland once and had a Guinness, and we all were convinced that the Guinness is better in Ireland.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
I'm sure we're just doing that, but it does feel better. What else are we reading? 312-981-7200.
This one gave me a great chuckle. 630, my bright side is Taco Bell opened in Elburn. We've joined the real world. Yeah. And that's to love and
smile and dance and sing. All right, maybe just a couple more here. We've been busy on the bright side today. Thank you all for your calls. Thank you all for your texts. Thank you all for following us on Facebook. Let's go to Ronald. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Ron?
John, I'm smiling because yesterday my wife, Linda, had her appointment with the oncologist. She is 5 years cancer-free after having colon cancer.
Wow, great news.
Hooray. That's a milestone, isn't it? You get to 5 years, right?
It really is.
Well, congratulations, my friend. Celebrate this weekend on us.
You betcha.
Bye now. Wait a minute. I said on us. That usually means we're buying. That's not what I meant. I meant just in spirit.
In spirit,
yes. We'll be there for you. It'll be wonderful. We do this on Fridays. We ask you to call or text in. You can share your thoughts on Facebook. We stream it often on Facebook Live. We are there right now. So hello to our friends that are liking WGN King John on Facebook. Any last ones you want to read before we wrap this bad boy up this week?
Another great work one. 262 says they got a $1,600 bonus from work. That's a good Friday right there.
I don't remember if anybody has ever announced that they won more than $50,000 on the bright side.
I know. Well, he didn't really fully give his name, did he?
Yes, single. But then and then you've got that moment where you say, okay, I'll pay taxes. $50,000, so you've probably got $35,000 in your pocket.
Which is so sad.
And then you say, okay, now what am I going to do with it? I could go on a cruise. I could go on a bunch of cruises. I could buy a car. But he said that pays his nut on his mortgage, so now he doesn't have a mortgage.
That's a smart man.
For a $10 scratch-off, that's not bad. Hey, listen, one last thing here. I mentioned that tomorrow, Teddy Roosevelt is in town, And I think you can still get tickets to that. This is the last time that I'll remind slash bug you that if you want to have what I think is a memorable experience, go to WGNradio.com/Teddy, WGNradio.com/Teddy. If you can find a seat, you can buy it there. Teddy made his flight, so he will be able to join us at the Elgin Community College Blizzard Theater tomorrow. You're ready to run down the hall, right?
I am.
It was fun to listen to you guys from the Blackhawks game yesterday.
Yeah, it was a great time. Unfortunately, we lost, but, you know, we always love being there. It's like a second home.
I know. It's like Kevin said. All right, winner's here, but I do love the games. I do love the broadcast. Mm-hmm. And it's all coming up.